speaking, it's almost as though it wasn't a parable at all. He's just relating what he saw around him, this conflict between the Pharisees and the rest of the Jewish society. Doesn't have the sense of a figure. It looks more like what our Lord was actually preaching against directly. And it's a very direct parable. It's very direct. And it's very believable in the context of all the things that our Lord was preaching against. And the words of the Pharisee, "O God, I thank you that I am not like the rest of humanity, greedy, dishonest, adulterous, or even like this tax collector," is both believable in the context of the gospel in terms of like being a real instance, and it's also an obscene piece of self-deception on the part of the Pharisee. And unfortunately, it's true to humanity that we can always look across the table or across the aisle or across the street and see when someone over there who is doing this, that, or the other thing, and be completely oblivious to our own self-deception. And our Lord was continually talking about this in his conflict with the Pharisees, and constantly exhorting all of his disciples, all those who are willing to listen to him, to a spirit of humility and repentance. And nowhere in reference to tax collectors and sinners, prostitutes, does our Lord ever condone sin. Of course, he condemns it, he preaches against it, he corrects, but he also heals and restores, encourages, and lifts up. And generally speaking, he's not indignant and outraged by the tax collectors and prostitutes. He's indignant and outraged by the Pharisees and those who think they've got it all figured out and want to tell everybody else what they ought to do, and in reality are full of pride and in the end unrepentant. They don't even see it. That's the problem with the Pharisees, is not only are they unrepentant, but they don't even see it. They're so blinded. And our Lord has to tell them that. You know, at one point, he tells them that if you were really blind, you'd be excused. But you say that you see, and those so your sin remains. So it's kind of a deliberate blindness on their part. And we need to pray, all of us who follow Jesus, who are Catholic, have the fullness of the faith, come before the Lord in the Eucharist, receive Jesus from the altar, participate in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, have to pray and beg that that we have the grace to see the truth about ourselves and repent of our own sins. And if we do that, then we'll be, you know, perfectly capable, or let's say we will be given the grace to do good for others and bring them to repentance. In another figure, our Lord uses something that's truly hyperbolic, you know, that exaggerates the actual situation so that we can see the truth of things, where he tells his disciples, you know, remove the beam from your own eye, remove the plank, the beam, the thing that's stuck in your own eye and makes you completely blind, and then when you can actually see, you'll recognize that what's actually in the eye of your brother is a splinter. This is the way he talks to his friends. You know, these are the hard words that he gives to those who follow him, to his friends, to those who are willing to listen to him. And it's something that we need to take to heart. We all need to take this to heart, beginning with me, but we all need to take this completely to heart and be more severe with ourselves and more forgiving and willing to overlook the sins of others. We always have an excuse. We've always got a reason why, you know, our self-righteousness and our anger, our criticism is justified. We've always got a reason. We've always got an explanation. And then with, in reference to ourselves, we've always got an excuse. There's always a reason why we do the things that we do and why people don't understand us. And we've got it completely inverted. We all do it. You know, we're all inclined to do it. And it's something that our Lord has no use for. We need to be repentant, and we need to be humble, and we need to be forgiving, and we need to be an instrument of grace for others. And when we have that attitude, then we open our hearts to true repentance and to really doing what God wants. And in the end, that's what it's all about. It's not about me. It's not a Pharisee thought it was all about him. He walked into the synagogue and stood there like he was the, you know, God's gift to creation. He stood there and he actually spoke to God as though he were some kind of, you know, anointed one who was necessary for the good of humanity. And he was completely deceived, just completely and totally deceived. So let us not be deceived. Let us receive the mercy of God with honesty, integrity, humility, and gratitude, because he is our Savior and he is very good. And in spite of our sinfulness, he calls us to himself. And if we are willing to be humble and repentant, then not only will we be saved, but we will be able to do some good for our brothers and sisters who, contrary to our own estimate, probably are not as bad as we think they are. St. Francis said, you know, if others had received the graces that I had received, they would be better than I. So his own inclination was never to try to size things up and put it into his own selfish perspective, when in reality, he's one of the greatest saints who ever lived. If he saw things the way God saw them, he'd see how holy he really was. But St. Francis was not capable of looking at things that way because he had the spirit of the gospel. May we also have that spirit and live it with all our hearts. Misericordes oculi.